O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, this morning. And we're going to read through it before we sing it, as we've done with these other hymns. Before we get into it, I want to give you maybe a little piece of information you didn't know. If you've seen throughout the Bible, you will see Emmanuel spelled with an I or an E. And they're both right. They're two different words in the Bible. The I is from the Old Testament Hebrew word, meaning God with us. The E is from the New Testament Greek word for Emmanuel. So if you see it with an I, it's from the Old Testament. If you see it with an E, it's from the New Testament. If you see the I in the New Testament, they're quoting the Old Testament. So let's take a look. Verse 1.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear.
This is a cry for God to come be with us. Let's keep going.
O come, now day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight.
You ever been in the dark of life? That verse is for you. The cry out for God to bring light, and He will.
O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go.
Keep going.
O come, desire of nations bind, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace.
Isn't that the one you'd like to see the most? A world? That day is coming. Let's praise Emmanuel and sing this song.
Shall come.
As our men come forward, pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are our God. You are with us. You are our provider. And Father, I pray that as we worship you now with our offerings, that Father, we will be reminded that you have given us everything that we have. You have blessed us beyond measure. Unlike most people in this world today, you have poured out onto us. May we follow your command and bring back to you a portion as we are reminded that it all is yours. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
For a miracle, the heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. The child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Pray with me. Father, we are grateful for the light of the world, for you are Emmanuel. As we open your word, open our hearts. Father, I pray for each of us in this room at this moment that nobody's here by accident or coincidence, that we have a divine appointment with you this morning, and my prayer is for our hearts and our minds to grasp a deeper understanding of Emmanuel. Father, let the words that are spoken be yours. Let us be focused on you and not the distractions that Satan will try to distract us from our purpose. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. The Christmas story is one we are all very familiar with. And we see it as the beginning of Christ coming into this world to pay for our sins. And it is that. But I am convinced that there is a deeper, more important meaning to the Christmas story and Jesus coming into this world as a human than just to pay for our sins. That was the plan that God laid out. But the purpose of Jesus can be found in Emmanuel. Because the reason that God sent Jesus to be born as a virgin, to live on this earth, and to die on the cross for our sins was so that he could have fellowship with us. That's the purpose. Emmanuel, God with us, is what he wanted. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. As we explore this most important concept for us as Christians, to grasp the understanding of what Emmanuel means. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to start reading at verse 20. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." Verse 21, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message throughout prophecy. Verse 23, "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. That's the purpose, okay? Saving us from our sins. Jesus living the life perfectly as a human to die on the cross to pay for that sins was so that God could get to Emmanuel. God could get to having fellowship with us. That's his desire in all of this. And when you and I truly begin to grasp what God with us means, it will change your life completely. We say it, God's with me. We talk about Emmanuel. We love the Christmas story. But when you and I truly understand that there is not a moment in your life that God is not with you, it changes everything. I have a journey I want you to see. It's a little bit long. Don't check out. I know some of you will. Stay with it. This is important in our understanding and deepening what Emmanuel truly means to us. Watch this.
In the beginning, God was with us. He walked with us in the garden. He dwelt among us, the uninhibited, unrestrained, unimaginable presence of God with us, and it was very good. The Holy Creator delighted in His good creation, the man and woman called to bear His glorious image. But the voice of deception sang a sinister tune that promised joy apart from the Holy One. Seduced by the serpent's song, they ate the fruit and brought on themselves not a better life, but death. Fullness of joy in the perfect presence of God was replaced with darkness and shame. And the Holy God sent them out of the garden and away from the presence of the Lord. But before He sent them away, He made a promise. The serpent may have succeeded in his seduction, but God would be victorious. God would send a redeemer who would crush the head of the deceiver. God would bring near those who were far off to make them no longer enemies, but children. God would pursue His people. In the midst of brokenness, God offered unspeakable hope, the hope of God with us. From the moment that the curse of sin infected the hearts of man, God has been working to restore His presence to His people. He has been working to restore His people to Himself. The cry of every longing heart echoes with the desire for God with us. God promised His presence to Abraham in a land of abundance and rest. He promised Jacob that He would bridge the gap between heaven and earth and give us access to the divine. Even as the Israelites suffered as slaves in Egypt, God did not stop pursuing them, but His resounding words to Moses were, "I will be with you." God's holy presence descended in judgment upon Egypt. Yet He made a way for His people to experience not His wrath, but His mercy. By the blood of the Passover lamb, the presence of God drew near, and they lived. God led His people out of slavery with His mighty hand, His presence leading them through the wilderness by cloud and fire. When the Israelites lived in tents, God drew near and dwelt among them. But even in the tabernacle, access to God was limited, and the only hope for communion with God was an intermediary. Yet the promise remained, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." The promise of God with us. David longed to build a house worthy of God's holy presence, but God promised a better dwelling place, a place of perfect righteousness and peace, a place where God would be with us. In Solomon's temple, the glory that consumed like fire on Mount Sinai descended and filled the temple as a great cloud. But even there, His people could not freely draw near. The curse of sin was not eradicated, but infected every corner of creation. The promise of righteousness and peace in God's presence seemed far off as God's people were exiled and His temple destroyed. The permanent dwelling of God was left in ruins. Was this the end of God with us? The temple rebuilt gave a glimmer of hope, but it paled in comparison to its former glory. But this temple was never meant to be the answer. It pointed to a better temple, where God would be with us forever. For years, the people waited in silence and darkness, waiting for the promise, waiting for God with us. But then, a child is born, and to those who walked in deep darkness, separated from God in their sin, God revealed a glorious light. The Word of God broke through the silence and became flesh, tabernacling among us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the image of the invisible God and the exact imprint of His nature. And those who know Him know the Father. In His death, He tore the veil of the temple and gave us access to God's presence. He is the Savior who crushes the head of the serpent to rescue us and bring us home. He is the ladder that brings God's presence down to earth. He is the Passover lamb who bears the wrath of God so that we might live in His presence. He is the deliverer who frees us from our slavery to sin and separation from God. He is the servant who humbles Himself and pitches His tent in our midst. He is the intermediary whose blood gives us access to the throne of grace. He is the temple where the fullness of God dwells bodily. He is the promised King from David's line who rules in righteousness and peace. He is God with us. In our union with Christ, God does not live within walls made by human hands, but in us. In Christ, we are built up as living stones into an unbreakable temple. In Christ, God dwells in us. We have experienced the first advent, but we wait for another. We wait for the day when the presence of God will be made manifest and we will see Him face to face. We wait for the day when Christ will come again and bring down the dwelling place of God at last. The love of Christ is our hope for perfect joy and peace in God's presence. Jesus Christ is the hope of God with us.
It just said it better than I could. Satan wants you to believe you're alone. Even after you've accepted Christ, he wants you to believe that it's possible that you could go too far away, that you could sin too much, that you could take your eyes off of God too long and get drifted too far away. But the truth of the matter is, when you accept Christ, God is with you and in you. We build rooms like this so we can worship Him. But the truth of the matter is, the church is us, not this building. And God's with us. When we walk out that door, He's going out of there with us. So no matter what we face, what we encounter in this life, the struggles, the trials, the disappointments, God is with you. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Because this time of year especially, we like to think that most of Christmas is happy and joyful. For not everybody that's the case. There are things that have gone on or going on. People who have moved on, passed away, things change. Christmas is not always a happy memory for everyone. But it can be, because God is with us. Jeremiah chapter 23, I'm going to start reading at verse 16. Because the people have been deceived here. And verse 16 says, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies says to his people. Do not listen to the prophets, for they prophesy to you and fill you with futile hope. They are making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise my word, 'Do not worry. The Lord says you will have peace.' And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say, 'No harm will come your way.'" Does this sound like a message from Jeremiah or from the world we live in? This is the message of Satan. It gets packaged different. The wrapping paper's different. The bow's different. But the message is the same year after year. Do what you want. Be who you are. Live whatever you want. Do whatever you want to be. Decide who you are. It's a lie. Verse 19, "Look, the Lord's anger burst out like a storm, a whirlwind that swirls down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not diminish until it has finished all he has planned." And drop down to verse 23. "I am God, who is only close at hand, says the Lord. No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in secret places? I am not everywhere in all the heavens and earth. Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth?" That says there's nowhere you can go, nowhere you can be, nothing you can do that will escape God, because he is with us. Anything we face, any trial, any trouble, any heartache, any disappointment, you're never too far gone, too deep, that God can't change it. And God has a plan for you. That's the most exciting Christmas gift of all. If you're still here breathing, God's got something he wants you to do. And whatever's in your life is there to draw you closer to him. He will use it that way. He's promised. Sometimes our sin takes us down a dark and dusty road. But he'll call out. When we call out to him, it says he'll use all things. Look with me at Psalms 139 for a minute. Psalms 139. Because the world's going to try to tell you that you don't need God, that maybe you're too far gone, circumstances are too big. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "I can never escape from the Spirit. I can never get away from his presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me." No matter where. You see, light always defeats darkness. Have you ever thought about that? Darkness never wins. If there's light, it always destroys the darkness. Try not to shine that in anybody's eyes. Whatever darkness is in your life, you have a light within you that is strong enough to defeat it. That's the message that you and I need to carry out those doors to a world that thinks they can do whatever, be whatever, live however. And this time of year, for a lot of people, gets very lonely because the lies of Satan show that they're lies. And we have the light. That's the message. Emmanuel, God is with us. No matter what we're encountering, God's with us. And His desire is that we worship Him. And when we do, your life will be changed forever. Even as a Christian, the more we understand this concept of Emmanuel, the more we live in freedom. How amazing God is that this was about having fellowship with you for eternity. That was what this was about. Everything that took place from this point to the cross was about having fellowship with you. And that we will never lose because we have Emmanuel. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are with us. There's nowhere we can go, nothing we can experience, nothing we can do that will ever separate us from you. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you that we have a Christmas to celebrate. And Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. The end of that got cut off said, come and join us and bring a friend. Because next Sunday night is our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Don't miss it. It's my favorite service of the year. Bring somebody with you. Let's worship Him because He is the reason for the season. And He is with us. Stand with me and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you and we thank you that we can call you Emmanuel. Let us leave this room and take you to a world that needs you so badly. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.